welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. We're going to go ahead this morning, and we're going to actually be picking up this morning in a message that we started last week, which is actually part of a bigger series simply called Fear Not. We've been kind of taking a look, really, this whole month of January of the new year, at just some of the powerful scriptural reasons why we have that we can fear not as we're going through life, as we're going through different things, trials, circumstances, tests, whatnot. And we looked several weeks ago at just fear not, you know, because, you know, the greater one lives in you. God lives in you. We just looked at that reality, the amazing, stunning reality that God by the Holy Spirit lives in you. And as John put it, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Kind of looked at that. We also kind of looked at the week after that, we just said, you know, fear not, you know God's voice. You know, John said, test the Spirit whether it's of God or not. And so you have the ability to know whether something's God or not God. He's given us that ability by the Holy Spirit so we can know where to go and where not to go. But then we said, as you look at things that are God, that's good. You get things, revelation, understanding. You know, God feeds you, strengthens you through those things that are God. But those things that are not God, what do you do with them? You know, they're coming at you. And so that was kind of what we looked at last week in a message, Fear Not, resisting and resting. And so last week we looked at that resisting part of it. I've got something. This isn't God. What do I do with this? And we looked at the ability that we had. We said last week that we can resist and rest. So again, we looked at the resisting side of that. And a few things that we just brought out, very importantly, is the fact that there is an element of resisting that is so clear in the scriptures. And we can see in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So we can see that we have an adversary. He roars. He can't just devour anybody he wants. He can roar, and then he's got to step back and see what happens. He's going to roar and see if you buy it or not, basically. That's what he's doing. So he's roaring, and like we said, you test things, roars, and some things aren't of God. And the scripture says in verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. We said that resisting is necessary. We're given this admonition to resist because we've been given the ability to resist, and we looked at some of the different ways. You can go back and watch that message if you want to, but we looked at how you can resist in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. That name spoiled powers and principalities and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go in my name. We have authority in that name. There's something powerful in the name of Jesus spoken in faith that has authority in this spirit world, in this spirit realm. And we said, human beings made in the likeness and image of God, when they speak words by faith, the spirit realm stands at attention and listens. Because you're created in the image of Almighty God, and you have authority in your words. They can be used on a bad side. There's people who don't even know God that use their words in a bad way and create all kind of negative, oppressive, different things like that. But as children of God with a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God in our mouths, coming out of our mouths, we have the power and the ability to resist, not only with the name of Jesus, but with the written Word of God. Like Jesus said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. We can say, it is written. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that word coming out our mouth has authority also to push back and resist spiritual stuff. So that's kind of where we got to. And so as we're transitioning now, I want to kind of go into the resisting to resting side, okay? There is that resisting. There is that confronting. There is that stop, no, rejection, that confrontation of something that's not God. That's what we call resisting. But as we're going from resisting to resting, you realize in real life, again, I'm just kind of bringing this out the way I've walked this out in my life. A lot of times I will say, in the name of Jesus, I resist you, I break your power, all right? And I will by faith see in my heart, in my mind's eye, according to the Word of God, that's broken, all right? And there is a relief you experience. There is a sense of peace. There is a sense of pressure that comes off in the name of Jesus. And there is that. But also, as you're getting free from stuff, a lot of times there's also, apart from just the resisting, there's going to be a process, all right? I resist, I take authority in Jesus' name, and something is broken. The spiritual force of that is broken. But when you look at 1 Peter 5, he says, resist him steadfast in the faith. He goes on in verse 10, may the God of all grace, who called us by his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's a resisting, but it's not always just going to be instantaneous where the clouds are going to clear up and the birds are going to sing and the sun is going to shine and you're just going to feel gooey immediately all the time, all right? Sometimes you can experience that. I would say that's the minority of the time. But many times when you're resisting, you know, you're resisting by faith. You know, I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm walking by faith in this word. I'm walking by faith in the promise of this word. I'm walking by faith in the name of Jesus. I'm walking by faith when I say, I resist you, Satan, in Jesus' name. You will not harass me. I break your power. Go. That's faith. That's not sight. I'm doing it by faith. All right? And as I'm doing that by faith, praise God, spiritual things are happening, and I believe and I declare that it is happening. But at the same time, when I've resisted, there's still a season, many times, a while, that you're just standing. And this is the way Ephesians puts it. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You're taking that shield of faith in a standing position. I'm rebuking, I've resisted in the power of the name of Jesus, but I'm standing. I'm standing in that place. It's a stance of resistance. I've resisted, but I'm standing in that, all right? And this is why I just really want to unromanticize this in terms of taking your authority in Jesus' name. You take your authority in Jesus' name. I want to unromanticize and demystify both, all right? I just want to get it down to plain where we're living here. When I'm doing this and I'm taking authority in Jesus' name over this, I'm doing it by faith. And when I'm doing that and I take that position, I'm taking it because I'm ready to stand, therefore. In other words, it's not like this, I resist you. I'm not putting up with this. I resist you in Jesus' name, and I'm standing, therefore. There is a resolve to stand. When Jesus said to have faith in God, he said, Mark 11:22, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, I resist, and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, what things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. There's a speaking and there's a waiting and there's a will have them. That's faith. That's how it works. And there is a standing. There is this middle ground of standing. And I want us to look at this. We've done our resisting. We've exercised our faith. We've done what God's called us to do. And that's the resisting. There's the standing. On the other side of this awesome thing, the Bible says in verse 10, after you've suffered a while, we'll call that resisting, one, standing, two, at the end of it, there's a perfecting, establish, strengthen, and settle in this cycle of resisting. There's an act of faith, there's a standing, and on the other side of the standing, there's a maturing, there's a perfecting, there's an establishing. And when I'm standing, I'm looking there. I'm standing in faith. I've spoken, and I believe that I receive. He believes. Why? What's the evidence that you believe? You're standing in what you just said. You're standing in faith, knowing there's a perfecting, established, strengthening, and settling. A lot of times, this area right here in the standing, we kind of see it only in the light of 1 Peter 10, where it says, and after you've suffered a while, okay? So we can kind of see this middle part as a suffering time. And say, okay, I know I got to do it. This is the suffering part. This is the suffering part of my faith. I've declared it, but I'm standing because I know I'm going to mature. This is where we're not calling this suffering, okay? We're calling this the resting place. Is there a suffering there? There's a suffering for a while. There's some stuff that's getting worked out in you. There's some changes and adjustments that are taking place in you. But this is not just you twisting in the wind, suffering, taking one for the team until, you know, no. We declare things in faith. And the message for today, again, is resting in faith. I don't want us to be afraid of this. I want to declare things in faith as we enter into a rest. As I believe what I see, I believe, I receive it, and I will have it. As I'm resting and as I'm standing in faith. So it's kind of like standing and resting and how we do this. I've declared, I believed. Now what? Now we're going to rest. And how do we do that? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Resting in faith. So, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, you will have them. There's a standing. And as we're standing, we're going to be resting in that stand. Resting in faith. So that's, again, the message of this, you know, this morning, where we're going. It's just resting in faith. How do I do this? How do I do this and rest in faith all at the same time? Last week, I kind of shared a bit of a graphic example of when I was walking and I saw and came across some roadkill. All right? I said it was so grotesque, I didn't even want to figure out what it was. There were so many flies around it. It was one of those things you kind of walk up to it, you hold your breath because you don't want to smell it either. You walk around it, and then you exhale, and it's like that. And when I had that, I just said, the Lord kind of gave me a little word right there. And it was a very profound, you know, word that I understood. I got it. He said, you know, because he had all these flies buzzing around, he said, Ed, if you want to get the flies from around your off of your face, you got to get the roadkill out of your head. Okay? We're talking about process here. If you have been hearing roars of the enemy, and there has been a fear that's been playing on you, maybe it's been playing on you for years, not only are you experiencing the spiritual force of those powers and principalities, but also over that course of time, your mind has been programmed to where you can just instinctively fear. You can instinctively connect dots. That process of listening and yielding to spiritual things messes with your mind, all right? It programs your mind in a way that it causes you to just think wrong. And so as I'm taking authority over the devil, praise God, the spiritual forces of things are broken. But a lot of times there's going to be a process where you are going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the greatest, you know, and so when you're talking about like the roadkill in the head, that's kind of the unrenewed mind, all right? I can shoo the flies away. I can do that. But if I'm still thinking the same way, I'm going to draw flies eventually again, all right? I want to be free from the flies, and I want nothing in here that draws flies. I repel flies, not just with the authority of the name, but I'm being changed in this area where I'm resting. And I'm making decisions that we call suffering for a while. I'm making decisions, but I'm making them in the rest, in a rest of faith. Here's a scripture that, to me, just really shows the power of the Word of God when it comes to resting. And so the first part, resting in faith, is delighting in the Word. Psalm 1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." Okay? I like to call this guy affectionately the Psalm 1 guy. All right? What does he do? He just delights in the law of the Lord day and night. There's a meditating in the law of the Lord day and night. When I'm here, I've taken my authority, say it's a spirit of fear, say whatever, and now I'm in here, all right, and I'm dealing with stuff. One of the great ways we rest here is by just delighting in the law of the Lord, delighting in the Word of God. Here's the power of delighting in the law of the Lord and the Word of God, is it creates a background. When your mind is full of the Word of God, you create a background in your mind where things that are not God just show up. And it's not like, oh, I shouldn't be thinking that. No, it's like, that's not God. That's not God. I'm meditating in the Word. That's not Him. I'm just resting in the Word of God. And stuff that's not Him shows up. You see it. It's like it shows up on the radar screen. You know, I remember when we, you know, get a house or something, Julie did not want white carpet, because every little thing would show up, you know, in a bad way. Every little crumb, every little thing. Well, that's kind of on the negative side. But on the positive side, when your heart and your mind is full of the Word of God, things show up. And when you're fighting that battle, you think, I shouldn't be fearing. This is where you say, no, I'm going to just begin to meditate on the Word of God. The reason why this guy, this Psalm 1 guy, didn't fall for the advice of the wicked, he didn't stand in the path of the sinners or join with the mockers, he had all those temptations that we all have. But he's so delighting in the law of the Lord, he could see it coming. He could see it coming from a distance. This is a proactive way, as we're in this place, we're believing we receive, where we're just resting in the Word of God. We're resting in the promises of God. And when I think of this, idea, this concept, here's one more scripture I want to put in connection with it, Colossians 3:16. "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." Let the message in its richness fill your lives. And that's the thing. It's when the Word of God is dwelling in you, there's just the ability for the Word of God to call stuff out that's not right. In other words, I'm resting in the Word of God. This is where there is faith. So let's just kind of talk shop about that as a concept. When you're dealing with something mentally, fear, stuff like that, you don't feel like doing this. You want to work it out. You want to figure it out. You want to crack the code. You want to solve the case. You want to da-da-da-da-da. That's what it does. It engages. It takes faith. It takes suffering on an intellectual level to come over here and just take some time with the Word of God. Now, let me say this about the Psalm 1 guy. Anybody can be a Psalm 1 guy. You don't have to know a bunch of scriptures to be a Psalm 1 guy. If you got one scripture that you like, it could just be, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." You take that scripture. But I got this complicated problem over here. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's faith. That's what the Psalm 1 guy did. I'm delighting in that. I'm meditating in that. I'm choosing that. This is the way the proverb writer put it. "My child, listen to what I say. Treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and gain the knowledge of God." When I'm here, I want to be free from this thing. But there's something that God is working in you that's even bigger than being free from that thing. He is working in you the fear of the Lord as it relates to that thing. Because that thing, you're more afraid of that thing. And when you fear the Lord, when there's a reverence for God, He works that in you in a way that's like, I don't fear that. Look at the language here. Tune your heart, treasure my commands. Tune your hearts, concentrate on understanding. Cry out, ask, seek for understanding, search for them as you would for silver and gold. This is like a, just a diligence. Like if you knew there was, you know, if I was to say there's a gold bar in here somewhere, you know, and it's worth $10 million. First one who gets it, finders keepers, you got it, it's yours. And you were thinking, you know, it could be behind that speaker over there. Yeah, probably not. No, you'd check behind that speaker to see if it's there. You check every little place where it could be. That's a diligence. That's a vigilance. So when I'm standing with a vigilance. I'm not just resisting because, no, I'm standing. That's when James said, you know, receive with meekness the implanted word, this word which is able to save and restore your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For he that is a hearer of the word is like a guy that looks into a mirror and then immediately goes away and forgets what manner of man he was. You can do that with resisting and completely forget. He said, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, this one will be blessed in what he does. So when you're resisting, it's not just, I have a theological belief about the power of the name. No, I'm resisting from a place. I'm resisting from a place of determination. Believing I receive. I'm resisting from a place of faith. Not tossed like going to the wave of the sea, but I'm resisting in faith. And as I'm resisting, and I've said this out loud sometimes, as I've resisted in faith, in that same roar, even after I've resisted, just feel like, you know, and what Satan does when he roars, he's trying to roar you out of your secret place. He's trying to roar you out of that place in Christ, out of that place of safety and peace. And when I'm experiencing that roar, I've literally said this out loud, because that guy who looks into the mirror, forgets what he looks like and goes away, I've said, I'm not going anywhere. I don't care how loud the roars get, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. I'm staying here. I'm going to continue in this word. I'm going to seek it like hidden treasure. You don't get hidden treasure right away. It takes time. There is a searching. There is a diligence. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. You're believing he is. You believe the answer. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently, this is the diligence, seeking him. That principle is right here. And so as I'm resisting in Jesus' name, I resist with a diligence and a belief. And I'm ready to back my own resistance with a stand and saying, in Jesus' name, I'm sticking with it. And I'm resting. I'm resting in the Word of God. I'm resting in that place. One of the great, I think, just examples, I'd heard about this. My pastor, Pastor Paul Carlson, who pastors a church in Menominee, just talked about himself dealing with the spirit of fear. And his wife, he just, in his mind, he'd see his wife getting murdered in different ways. But he was a missionary in Haiti. And they'd come home and they would see houses just completely ransacked and brutalized because that particular house was on the wrong political side. You know, and so he'd have these images and he just thought, oh, I'm going to be so glad to get out of Haiti. He finally got out of Haiti. The Lord called him back to Minnesota. When he went to Minnesota, all of a sudden he began to see his wife in car wrecks and accidents and getting mugged and getting killed somehow. That spirit of fear, he couldn't leave a spirit of fear because he left Haiti. That spirit of fear will follow you and will adapt wherever you are. Okay? At one point, he was just working and he's just doing his job and he was thinking about this and he said, the Lord spoke to him and he said, Paul, he said, you know that fear you're dealing with? He goes, yeah. He said, that's not from me. Now, he probably theologically knew that, but he heard it by the Spirit of God. And he saw it. This isn't God. When you see it, you lose all sense of moral obligation to have to deal with it and hold on to it and entertain it. It's just not him. And he said, right there, he just broke it. He said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break that fear. That is not of you. In Jesus' name, go. He took authority over that right there, you know, on the job. He was kind of quiet in his own way, but he took authority over it right there. But here's the thing he said that I'll never forget, just a great visual. He said, when I did that, it was like, oh, I felt, I sensed a release, a relief. But he said it was like you're in a dark tunnel and you turn around and you see light, you see clarity, you see the open area, you see where you need to go to. That was what happened when he resisted. He said, But it was several weeks after that, as he was walking toward that light, that God hadn't given him a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. As he's walking toward that light, he said, in this dark tunnel, I see the light, but it's like there's a, in your peripheral vision in the tunnel, you could hear that voice trying to get you to turn and look and go back into the wormhole. You know what I mean? So he said, as he was, so this would kind of represent that middle area, he took authority, but as he's walking through, he said, then he'd have to repeat that and say, no, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He's keeping himself directed to the light. That's having done all to stand there for. That's a shield of faith, quenching the fiery darts of the devil, those peripheral things that are coming at you. This is where there's process, and you're resting in that word of God, the word. And he said, I kind of, just as I would continue to declare that word and not get turned around, praise God. But let me say this, when you're walking through a tunnel, and it's your tunnel, and it's the fears that you're familiar with, and the stuff that's going, and you got that compelling peripheral look, yeah, I know the word says that, but that is so real, and you know that's true, and you know, this is where in your heart you do this. You tune your ears to wisdom. You cry out for insight. You ask for understanding. I'm just saying in real life, this is how it looks in my life. When that peripheral stuff is calling me, that's where I'm saying, Father God, I know your word says this. I declare it. I'm crying out for understanding. Show me, guide me, lead me. There is a heart cry toward God as you're walking toward that light, as you're walking toward that scripture. This is part of your fellowship with God. Right there, I'm searching you. I don't have the, this thing is talking to me and I can't answer its questions. I'm turning to you by faith. I'm dropping this and I'm looking to you by faith. I'm going to rest in your word. That song we were singing, I'm going to rest in the promise. Sing my way out till every lie crumbles. There's a forward moving momentum by the word of God. He said, and I kept declaring that word that the Lord gave me over and over and answering. He said, eventually I walked out of that tunnel. And he said, when you walk out of that tunnel, you look back and go, I can't believe that thing ever had a hold of me. It's amazing. But there was something going on in him. He was being transformed by the renewing of his mind with every look. There was a battle here. And this is where it's important. When we talk about resisting, if there is a romanticized expectation, when I say, in the name of Jesus, it's over, done, and a thought comes, and you're thinking, oh, I thought I resisted that, so I should be free from... No, you're just standing. You're resting in the Word of God. You're resting in that Word. And here's a psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is how I do what I've just got done preaching. When I've got a chance and opportunity, I will literally just have scriptures. I'll have a few scriptures that I like, and I will literally lie down in a recliner, or I could be walking, and I will just declare that word of God. I will speak the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Take some time and declare the word of God. This, when we're talking about resisting the devil, it can't stay theology. It's got to be your reality. Jesus said, he said to those Jews that were among him, he said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. You. And the Lord said this to me once. He said, Ed, you can hear the word on the preacher's time, but you have to continue in the word on your time. But this is where breakthroughs happen right here. Most breakthroughs don't happen right here. In the name of Jesus, be broken. Most of them don't. Most of them happen after you've done that, and you stand on it. And you stand on what you've declared. Because what's happening here, not only are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind, but you're believing. You're being changed. You're becoming to know that one who you've resisted in the name of. It becomes real to you. There's a faith that comes by hearing, and a hearing by the word of God, and there's a faith that's built up in you in this process. Okay? But he makes you lie down in those green pastures. I like to make this, and I know the way we're kind of describing, in kind of a dealing with thoughts, but this is where you can just literally have your quiet time, continue in that word. What is that word the Lord has given you? Begin to meditate on it, think about it, declare it, speak it. When this becomes your word, you experience the power that's in that word. You experience the word is living and powerful. It's discerning. And you get discernment, supernatural discernment, where you can see things and call things out, not because you're so smart, but that word in you has power and gives you the ability to do this. This is right here where I'm resting in the word of God. So when I've resisted and I'm still dealing with thoughts, I literally take time and I just rest in that word. I remember hearing a great example of a situation where there was a blimp that got, you know, went out of control, and there was ropes hanging off of it, and there were guys trying to pull it down and, you know, trying to bring it back, stabilizing it again. And so you had a bunch of guys dangling on these ropes. This blimp went way up in the air, and it was this tragic scene where you got guys falling to their death. You know, some of them got off in time, didn't get killed, but there was this one guy that didn't get off in time. He's going way up high, and people are just screaming in terror because they know it's just a matter of time before his grip lets out, you know. And first, you know, he's just like a little, looks like a little bug up there, but he's not coming, he's not falling. And then finally, you know, as he came down, you know, there were some reporters that asked him later, he said, how was it that you were able to hold on, you know, hold on that long without your hands giving out? He said, oh, once I realized I had this rope, he said, I just wrapped it around me a couple times and I just let it hold me up and I just rested in it, you know? And it's a good illustration because that's when you're here, you're taking these promises and you're not holding on to them, you're wrapping yourself in them and you're resting in them. I have no power in me. Apart from me, I can do nothing, nothing. The power is here. The power is in these promises. We've been giving exceeding great and precious promises that through these promises, we partake of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. The power is there. I am by faith right here, and I've had it where I've been right here. You got the big ugly battle, whatever that thing is, the saga, the soap opera, whatever it is, and you're right over here, and you're just, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you're just having a little quiet time, and revelation comes. Praise God, I see it. Things break here. And it's like, wow, praise God. I see it. I know it. Glory to God. And right there, I mean, the Holy Spirit will inspire you to say some things that are definitive and closure, and it's done, and I'm over here established, strengthened, and settled. Because there's stuff that happens here. I'm learning. You learn the fear of the Lord here. When you got your ideas, and you've been loyal to it, and your you know, your reputation and your feelings and your, and you lay it aside. No, God's word. I'm learning the fear of the Lord here. There's a humility here and there's a grace he gives in that humbling when you cry out. And that's where you're getting stuff. This is the resting place. But you get it when you're resting. You get it when you're resting in that word. You're listening and you're resting. Because you know what he says here? He says, tune your ears. The King James, New King James says, incline your ears, tune your ears to wisdom. So I'm resting and I'm listening. I'm listening. My ears are listening. I'm seeking, but I'm listening. I'm listening and I'm concentrating and I'm crying out and I'm getting stuff. This puts you in a place, what Jesus said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. There's an abiding in him. That's what you're doing here. When you're in here, you're abiding in him. I'm just staying here. Do I have the answer? Has the war stopped in terms of thoughts? No, I'm staying here. Is there a suffering for a while? Yeah, but it's not a vain suffering. I'm putting, you know, my flesh under and choosing spirit in a way that's growing me. It's developing. Let's take a look at how that works. We're talking, that's kind of the trajectory. Resisting by faith, the joy of the Lord. Okay, we got the word of God that we're resting in, but there's also the joy of the Lord. Now, when we think of the joy of the Lord, we got to understand a few things here, as Paul says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Right here, you can pray. Father, strengthen me with might according to your glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. There's a joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God, not food and drink. It's righteousness, Praise God. There's peace and there's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a joy that God has in the middle of the stuff, in the middle of working it out. There's a peace that passes your understanding, and there's a joy that passes your understanding. It's a strengthening of His Spirit. The Passion puts it this way, and we pray that you would be energized by all His explosive power from the realm of His magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the realm of His beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. This is huge right here. I got my deal. I'm standing, believing. I got the Word. I'm bringing things up. But here's where you just change the subject on the enemy. And you just begin to rejoice. There's a joy that comes from answering. There's a joy of your salvation that doesn't change. You're rejoicing. Gratitude. He made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to you by living the light. What am I doing here? In the same way, I just come over here in a general way to just meditate on the Word of God. The Scripture says if you sow to the Spirit, if you invest, you're going to of the Spirit reap life. You're just sowing, you're reaping, but there is a joy, an on-purpose joy, that I get about my salvation. There's the joy of your salvation. This is where, in the middle of this, I can say, thank you, Jesus. You loved me. You gave yourself for me. You died on that cross for all my sins. You destroyed the power of the devil, every power, every principality. You did it. You lived a sinless, perfect life. The stuff that I'm dealing with here right now, you dealt with it and you beat it. And you gave me that victory. You did it. You were raised far above all powers and principalities, above every name that is named. You are Jesus Christ. And I believe in you, and you are my Lord. You have the victory, and you've given me that victory. I thank you for it. There's nothing bothering. This is not a mystery to you. There's no puzzle here for you. You beat this. Glory to God, and you've given me the power and the ability to overcome everything by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I'm going to be in heaven with you forever. Thank you, Jesus. You on purpose get grateful for what He's done for you and declare that victory. Because His victory is your victory. When you say He has defeated powers and principalities, made a show of them openly, that includes the ones you're resisting. And there's power when you just do that by faith. This is a big part of worship and praise and glorifying God. What are we doing? We're glorifying that victory. We're lifting high the victory of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do technically with my deal, all right? But I am declaring that, and the glory and the joy of my salvation is coming out from that. And the cool thing about that, you see, because there's stuff here I don't know. There's stuff here that I don't get. But this stuff I do know. This stuff I do get. This is clear. And in just simply declaring the clarity of your own salvation, that Jesus came for you. He died on that cross for you. He was raised up for you. And eternal life is abiding in you. And you have His name. And you have His ability. And there's nothing that can separate you from His love. And He is for you. And He loves you. And there is no tongue that can rise up in judgment against you. And He ever lives to make intercession for you. This is true. When you declare that, it stirs up the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. It stirs something up. That's the joy of your salvation. No matter what about that, I mean eternity in heaven, it makes God bigger. It's called magnifying the Lord. And you magnify Him bigger than that fear, and all of a sudden you're looking down on that thing, and there's a fear of the Lord that's greater than the fear of that thing. Something happens in you right here. Praise God. This is where things happen. It's the joy of the Lord. And this is what James means when he says this. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, this is the testing place, I've declared it, it's being tested. Did God really say that? Is He really going to stand? Is He really going to come through? You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. That's over here. If you need wisdom, ask of God. This is where you're working it through. This is where you're crying out for understanding and lifting up your voice. And you're working with the Lord saying, I love you. I'm not going anywhere. You are mine. I'm yours. I believe this word. Praise God. And so when you look at it here, He's saying, look, joy, you got troubles come. It's a great opportunity for great joy. Knowing that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. In the King James, New King James says, count it all joy. In other words, there's a diligent effort. I'm going to get joyful right here. I'm going to get joyful in God because of the things that are true. And what is happening? Endurance is happening. Change is happening. That joy has a sustaining ability in my rest. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Worshiping God. There is something about that. When the enemy wants you thinking here, you know, and you say, no, we're going to think Jesus. That's not the channel. The channel is His victory. The channel is, that's the channel in my mind. That's, you have Him on the run. Now He has to deal with you. As long as you're listening to His roars, you have to deal with Him. As long as He has to listen to your worship with Jesus, He has to deal with you. No flesh can glory in His presence. And you're literally changing it right here to a joy, to a tone of joy. You can just, it's amazing. Now, you probably have your own story. You can be miserable and things going on. You jump in the car, you turn on the radio, that song comes on, and all of a sudden, wow, everything's changed. You accidentally counted it all joy. And the Spirit of God rose up, and you experience things. We don't have to have it happen by accident. We can be intentional. And let me say this too. When you're here, your flesh doesn't feel like it. Your flesh doesn't want to. This is where you push past your flesh and you do it anyway. You do it anyway, and this is where breakthrough comes. It's that continuing in the Word. I'm pushing past my flesh. I'm pushing past my victim complex. I'm pushing past my tired, and I'm going to bless the Lord at all times right here. This is where breakthrough comes. This is where things begin to happen. This is where things begin to change. I'm counting it all joy. I'm counting it all joy. When you look at my lifespan in connection to eternity, it is a vapor. It's a vapor on the end of glory. Exceeding riches of His grace. The sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. There's a joy set before us. As there was a joy set before Jesus, there's that joy. Man, this is very temporary. I'm passing through. And let me tell you, when you pass through this stuff and you get over to here, it's not just your victory. You got something in you. You've pulled revelation into the earth. There's something in you that you've got to give to set the captives free. When something happens here and you stay with it and you come out on the other side, you're a carrier of that victory. That's why He fights you so hard over here. It's not just your personal deliverance. That's a pretty small thing in the planet of 6 billion people. It's what you're going to do with it. That's a threat to His kingdom. But having done all this, then you stand, therefore, and you are established, and you are strengthened, and you are settled, and you know that promise is true now, here, in a way that you were just taking it by faith over here. You know it because you believed that He was a rewarder. You diligently sought Him. You diligently stood your ground, and you came over here, perfected, established, strengthened, settled. Praise God. There's a rest in that joy. I've had that. Where you're fighting, you're dealing with things. Okay, I know I shouldn't be thinking that. And I just turn on worship, and I just begin to worship the Lord. And it's gone. I don't have to bring closure to His confusion. No moral obligation. I just begin to lift up His name, worship Him. Finally, there's a resting in faith where you're choosing a light yoke. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. We know this scripture, most of us. We come to Him. We find that light burden. We know that this is His heart. It's not heavy. Even right here, this is why this is a resting place. The yoke is light here, all right? The reason things seem heavy is because of the choice that we have to make. Right here, is where we're choosing, the light yoke or the heavy one. There's such a temptation because we're so familiar with the thing that we're fighting to want to stay in that vein. But his yoke is light. But we got to choose that yoke. Choose that light yoke. He says in Colossians, he says, let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. All right, there's a peace in your heart that goes, and this is the way it is. There's a peace in your heart, and then there's math in your head. Two different things. The math in your head wants to engage something. The peace in your heart says, let it go. And you're going, his yoke is light, but I got to choose the light yoke. And when you do this, and you stand your ground, you begin to get good at choosing the light yoke. But what if they take advantage? What if they do this? What if I don't let my mind go there and all this bad stuff happens to me? Or if I just by faith choose the light yoke and trust God and stay here? This is where change happens. This is where you're going from glory to glory. This is where there's a rest. It's a resting. I'm listening for peace. I'm inclining my ear for wisdom. And I'm listening for the peace of God. Is there peace in that? What's the trajectory of that thought? Is it peace or is it anxiety? Humility is just going to choose the peace. It's going to let the peace of God rule. He's there. He's there to call balls and strikes. Am I going to go with my umpire? Or am I going to override the umpire and try to take care of things? This is right here where there's an overcoming. Right here, this is where you're learning the fear of the Lord. This is where things are beginning to happen. This is suffering for a while. This isn't forever. You're going through a test here. But you know, you're learning the fear of the Lord here. You're learning, Lord, know the Lord. I trust the Lord. But man, this is like me. Yeah, I know. I'm letting go of that. But this is so compelling. I mean, this hypothetical. It's a hypothetical that's based on something that really happened. And it could, you know what a hypothetical that's based on something that really happened is? It's a hypothetical. The enemy roars. There's a seduction there. He has a seduction to get you back. But what are you doing? What are you doing? When you're here, you're abiding in Christ. You're abiding in Him. I'm coming unto Him, and I'm learning of Him. He's meek and He's lowly in heart. The things that He's telling me are not trajectory to strife. I'm learning here. I'm learning. I'm listening with my ear, and I'm staying here. I'm staying here, and I know firsthand I'm being changed here. I'm not the same guy. I'm changing. I'm learning to trust. Imaginations are being cast down just because I'm staying here and I'm not biting on them anymore. I'm staying here. It's not a place, again, of suffering and twisting in the wind. I'm staying here, believing, diligently seeking, believing and knowing He's a rewarder of those who diligently seeking Him. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to a place where you believe, you receive it, and you have it. Not only do you have it, but you are strengthened, established, settled. But this is that tender spot. See this tender spot, this sweet spot. You know, this is the final scripture. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication. We let our requests be made known unto God. That's over here. Whether you're resisting the devil, whether you're declaring something. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If I've dealt with it, I'm going to let the peace of God keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I'm not answering questions. I'm not figuring things out. I'm keeping my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's like the goal is if I can just keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus and pass on the junk, God's going to do something in that place. That's where I'm going to see. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And when Satan kind of roars us into that place of carnal mindedness, you feel like you lose a sense of your will. I mean, you're still a free will person, but the carnal mind isn't subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. When he gets you into that carnal mindedness, You can't be carnal-minded and do the right thing. It's impossible. Carnal-mindedness affects your will, not just your thoughts and your emotions. It affects your will when you stay in that. So you just have to make a decision to get spiritually minded and come over back into Christ. Come back by faith into the things of God. Come back by faith under His mighty hand. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm sown into the Spirit. What am I doing? I'm breaking carnal-mindedness, getting spiritually minded, because the spiritual-minded man is subject to the law of God and can be and can do what God's called him to do. So you're getting back to that place, spiritual-mindedness again. I'm back in this place. I'm back in the sweet spot. I'm not here yet, but I'm back in the sweet spot. I'm abiding. I'm not going to get roared out. You know, you basically got the flesh, the world, and the devil. You're either going to get seduced out by your own flesh, somebody's going to say and do something to get you fighting mad out of that place, or the roars of the enemy are going to try to roar you out of that place. But when you learn to stay here, and the flesh and the world, the devil can't get you out of here, because you bless the Lord with all your soul and all that is within you, and you keep in that place where I'm going to stay in you, I'm going to abide in you, your words are going to abide in me. I'm going to be changed as I behold you into your image more and more. I'm going to let that word have its work in my life, and I'm going to stay here. And when you get to where you stay here, the longer you learn this, it's a place of rest. You learn to rest in the Word and call upon the joy of your salvation. I'm not problem solving. I'm just sowing to the Spirit. I'm just getting spiritually minded. I'm just looking unto the Lord in this place of rest. And it's in this place you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. The Lord told me that in a very quick way when I'm over here and I'm hearing stuff and I'm saying, "Ah, Lord, how do I stop these suggestions? And I know it's wrong." And the Lord just said to this so clearly. He said, "Ed," He said, "when you sow to the flesh, you have ears to hear what the flesh is saying. When you sow to the Spirit, you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you don't like what you're hearing, change what you're sowing." And so a lot of times, to get out of that funk, it's a step of faith. That I'm just going to begin to worship God by faith. I'm going to begin to immerse myself in the Word of God by faith in a place of life and peace. And as you do, you come through on the other side. That's basically the gist. I just want to say something as I preach this. This works for everybody. Hook up where you are. Don't have a persona, this great man of God, this great consecrated, this great. That's all of our hearts. Our hearts are, the true north is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's our true north for everybody. The Apostle Paul himself said, "I don't count myself to have apprehended." So we don't have some, wow, this is really spiritual. Wherever you are, you can declare, you can resist, you can stand. You will hear, God knows where you are, and you're going to come through to the victory, and you'll cycle around again, and you'll declare, and you'll stand in the fear of the Lord, and you'll increase in the knowledge of God. You'll get some stuff. I mean, you're in here sometimes, you're here, and it's like you got that scripture. Man, it's that scripture. It's like, wow, it's that powerful. And you overcome, and all of a sudden you're standing here, and somebody says another scripture and goes, "Whoa, that's a good scripture too. I'm going to add that to my repertoire over here." Through the process of time, you learn to grow in faith in declaring and resisting. You grow in the knowledge of God, and you continue to get matured, established, strengthened, and settled. But it's a process, and we're all going through it in our ways at times. I've flopped and failed at this zillion times, okay? There's no condescending or finger pointing here. I'm just saying the way I've come through this and have learned and grown in it. But it's necessary to resist. It's necessary to take the authority that God has given to you. And it's necessary to stand, therefore, for the joy that is set before you, the joy of your salvation, the Word of God, knowing you're going to a place with every imagination you pass on, you're heading toward established, strengthened, settled victory. Amen. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the power of your word. We thank you for the instructions that you've given us. You have not left us comfortless. You have given us the power of the Holy Spirit. You've given us the name of Jesus. You've given us the word of God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the authority you've given me. As a child of God, as a human being in the earth, declaring your word, I have authority to resist. And I believe when I resist, the enemy flees. And I believe that I can stand in faith in that victory. And as I'm standing in faith, that victory is changing me. It's causing me to grow in trusting you, in knowing you. Help me to rest in your precious promises, in the strength of your Spirit, in the joy of my Lord, knowing I'm going somewhere, a place of strengthening, a place of establishing, a place of settling. Things that used to be a mystery are clear, and I've overcome something else by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Thank you, Father, for your grace to stand. Help me to rest in that stand, trusting you in the changes you're making in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.